how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm starving. Let's get some food.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't take that long to get a table.
How are we doing today, folks? My name's Caleb. I'll be your server today. Get you all something started to drink with. Maybe some iced tea, cup of coffee.
Tea.
Yeah.
You know what? I want water, but can I get some lemon? And you know what? Fact, give me some extra lemons, too.
Can I get 3 ice cubes in that tea, please? Just
3. Cubes.
Just
3. Cubes, extra lemons.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
You're right back, guy.
He's not wearing shoes.
I know.
Do you notice that? Most people wear shoes.
When they
Oh, man. Every time we come here. So, what'd you do today? Did you get anything done today at work?
Not really.
Man, I was tired. It's been a lot. It's about time.
I know, geez.
I apologize, guys. Really...
There's only 2.
I'll be right back with that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I'm ready to eat. I need to take my order. Can we hurry up here just a little bit?
Yeah, 1 sec.
Food.
Jeez. It's like he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, was he brand new or
something? How hard is it, you know? All you gotta do is take an order.
No kidding. What, do you have to degree?
Here we go. 3 cubes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know what? Just bring us some special sandwiches. You know, the last time I came here, you guys overcooked the sandwiches? Like, is that hard? I mean, how hard is your job?
How'd you want it cooked, sir?
I just want it, you know, nice and simple, where it tastes real good, just well done. Nothing like a hockey puck or anything, okay?
Well done. Okay. Thank you.
Same thing, and I want mine a little bit juicy. You know what I'm saying?
You want some pink in it?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just get it done.
French
get
fries.
It done. I mean, I can't believe this thing.
A lot of french fries.
Yeah.
Okay, right back.
I mean, come on. Like, what is he doing? Does he know what he's talking about?
No.
Oh, he gave me 1 lemon, extra lemon. I can't believe he just gave me 1 lemon.
I know he gave me 2 ice cubes. I asked for 3. 3.
Is it that hard? Hey, you know, man, come on. I can't believe we're here this whole time. And can't even get...
Here we go, ma'am. Juicy french fries.
That doesn't look like the picture.
I asked for extra lemons. And by extra lemons, I mean enough for my water and then some more. Okay. Is that really that hard?
Why doesn't this look like the picture?
I'll be right back. Is your zone okay, sir?
Did I just hear someone sneeze?
No, I didn't hear it.
I think
You know what? Take this back, too, and recook it, because, you know, they could have sneezed in my sandwich. Yeah. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Gross.
I get sick.
Don't you have to have, like, rules for that or something?
Yeah, there should be health regulations and some washing the hands. Did he wash his hands today? I haven't seen him wash his
hands. He's wearing no shoes. Who knows?
Man, he is... Oh, man. You know what? Forget that. Let's... Yeah, that looks a lot better.
There we go.
You know what?
Anything else I can do for you?
You know, this is like the 3rd time I've come here in the last week, and this is the worst it's been. I can't... You know what? Just bring us a check. Forget this.
Okay,
you know? I'm just hungry. I just want some food.
Me too.
Is that so much to ask?
I don't even know.
There we go. So there's your check. I'll be a cashier as well.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Don't leave a tip.
Oh, he deserves
horrible service.
What is it? $7.99? Yeah, we're just giving $8.
Ready, sir?
Yeah, that's all you. It's all you. Come on.
Really appreciate y'all stopping in. Come back and see us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been the manager here for a long time, and you think maybe I don't notice a lot of stuff, but they were really difficult customers. And
yes.
I just have a little bonus for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You know, children, you can go to Super Church if you can without killing anybody. You know, church folk have the reputation, unfortunately, of going into restaurants on Sunday afternoons, staying the longest, being the most difficult people. And sometimes the servers can be a little interesting. But the truth is that God has called each one of us to servanthood. And the illustration today helps us understand a little bit about what it's like to, in spite of how things are going, in spite of how people are dealing with you, we must keep a servant heart. And Caleb, who is a server by trade, probably has heard much worse than that. But At the same token, keeping a servant attitude in the midst of struggles, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hard times is very, very important. And so today I want to talk to you about the greatness of servanthood and what it means to us as God's kids. There's a lot of disciplines in the Christian life that we're to live, and I'm going to try to talk about a lot of those. And the ones we think of the most often are things like prayer and Bible reading, going to church, of course. Those are great disciplines and important ones. But there's also some disciplines that we might not want to think about quite as often, and that's the discipline of servanthood. Sometimes we get this idea that that's somebody else's job. That's somebody else's responsibility. That's what somebody else should be doing. But this particular discipline is very vital to the Christian's life as well as the church collective. Without a spirit of discipline, of servanthood, we'll miss out on much of what God has ordained for us to be and do. And so today I want to challenge you with this one. This is not as one that's going to make you hoop and holler quite as much as the Art of Celebration, but it ought to. Hello? Matthew 23:11 says, "The greatest among you must be a servant." One translation says it this way: if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you must be willing to be the servant of all. Now, that "of all" part, I looked up in the Greek, and you know what it means? All. It means everyone. That means no matter what the race is, no matter how difficult the people are, no matter how frustrating the life is, no matter if you're appreciated like you think you ought to be or not, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, then you must be willing to be the servant of all. It's backwards from the world's thinking. It's backwards from the world's mentality. And all of us have gone to restaurants and experienced good servers and ones that aren't quite so good. But the truth is that we are all to be called servants. Now, before I get into the main message today, I want you to know that there are certain people who are called to be servers. Romans chapter 12 gives us these gifts. We call them the motivational gifts. They're the gifts that motivate you. And there's some people in the body of Christ that are just gifted in serving. It just comes natural for them. It's just something is spilt. They're ready to fix it up, clean it up. You know, they're jumping up at the table. There's a basic motivation, is to serve. And the truth is that we're all called to serve. There are some people motivated. My motivational gift happens to be an encourager. My whole motivation in life is to build you up, to encourage you. That just it drives me. It pushes me to be an encourager to people, encourage their faith and encourage their walk and their servanthood to the Lord. But there are some people called to be servers by motivation. But let me say this to you, and I want you to hear me. Just because a person in the body is called to be a server doesn't mean we're called to take advantage of that. In fact, you know who should be working in the kitchen? All of us. At one time or another. Not at the same time, of course. Not that big of a kitchen. But we must be willing. Oh, so-and-so will do it. I've heard people actually say, well, Cindy will take care of that. She always does. Just because somebody's gifted or called in that way or motivated that way doesn't mean we should take advantage of that. We're all called to be servers, every one of us. It doesn't matter what our main motivation is. Everyone has been called to be servants. And Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you must be willing to be the servant of all. Now read with me in Mark chapter 9, please, verse 33 to 37. And I want to help you understand this a little bit further. After they arrived at Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples settled in the house where they would be staying. Jesus asked them, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. How many of you know people get into arguments about who's the greatest? Man, I'm the greatest. I'm the best. We have a world full of that. And Jesus has a response to this. He sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him. And then he said, anyone who wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. If you want to be first, you make yourself last. Well, that's radical. And it was radical to the people of Jesus' day. It was a radical statement. Remember Jesus said to the followers, he said, you know, if someone asks you to carry their bag a mile, then carry it 2 miles. Well, that was hard for them because in his day, they were under Roman rule, and nobody of the Jews really liked the Roman rulers. They didn't like them at all. And so now all of a sudden this radical teacher is saying, look, if somebody comes up to you, if one of those Roman soldiers comes up to you and asks you to carry their bag 1 mile, then you carry it 2 miles. In other words, you go above and beyond because servanthood is the basis. It's the foundation of how the kingdom works. Without servanthood, the kingdom of God does not flow like it's called to flow. And we need to learn how to be servants to one another. Anyone who wants to be the first must take the last place. Is that radical? That's radical to our world today. In fact, all you got to do is watch American Idol one time and you'll see this doesn't really live up to what our day's society is about. Everybody wants to be first. If you want to be first in God's kingdom, then you must make yourself last and take on the role of a servant. And then he put a little child among them, verse 36, taking the child in his arms, he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes my Father who sent me. Now this word welcomes is an interesting word because it has to do with more than just saying, hey, you're welcome, thanks for coming. It has the idea of making them feel welcomed by serving them. So when he talks about the kingdom, Jesus often uses an illustration about a child. Why is that? Because Jesus said, if you want to experience the kingdom, you got to quit being so stinking sophisticated and grown up and become like a little child and simply believe him. Now, some people don't like that. I don't just want to buy into something somebody said. No, Jesus said, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you've got to change the mindset. You've got to change the thinking from this world order, because the world order says if you want to get at the top, then you go up the ladder as fast as you can, stepping on anybody's fingers. You have to on the way up. Jesus said, if you want to be exalted, humble yourself. Hello? Are you here today? So it's a vital concept that we must understand. It's this wonderful discipline of servanthood comes and releases great power into our life. So let me just help you understand why this one comes up here at this point in the series, because I'm going to talk about some of the others. But if you see prayer, the discipline of prayer, as a chore, then you're missing an opportunity. Because the way you can serve the kingdom is to tear down the walls of hell through intercession and through prayer and reach forth and bring forth the kingdom in new territories. You see, God has given you authority. Did you know that? If you're God's kid, if you're a saved person, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, God has given you his authority to tear down the walls of hell and bring the kingdom of God forward into your community. He wants to take the territory. And he uses people in his plan. And so if prayer is a chore to you, then you're missing this particular discipline in your life. Really what prayer is an opportunity to serve the Lord's kingdom. It's an ability for us to take time to increase the kingdom through the discipline of prayer. We must see it as an opportunity to serve. Now, this church could use your prayer. Did you know that? Could. And what's going to make this church grow numerically and financially and spiritually and emotionally, what's going to make it grow is not just getting more people in the pews, it's getting the people that are here now learn how to have the opportunity to serve God through prayer. Amen. I mean, don't, oh, God bless the church, hallelujah. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about getting on your face before the living God of the universe and say, God, whatever's keeping New Beginning from being all that it's intended to be, I now, by the authority of Jesus' name, break down those walls. And I release the spirit of victory, the spirit of success, and the spirit of just prosperity to come upon the church called New Beginning. You have the authority. And guess what happens if all of us see prayer as an opportunity to serve God's kingdom and start praying like that together, where two or more agree as touching anything, God is there to do exactly what we're asking for. So if you see prayer as a discipline that is just a burden, then you're missing out on an opportunity. And the reason why I put this discipline of servanthood in this place in the series is because it's vital to the life of the church and the life of the kingdom. You may never move into the fullness of becoming a true person of prayer if you see prayer as a burden rather than an opportunity to serve. Now, we're going to look today at real quickly at a passage that's probably one of the most powerful passages in the scripture, and probably in one packed little statement tells us what the life of a disciple is all about. If you have your Bible and you would like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 5. It's a powerful passage. I was listening to a guy preach on TV Friday night, one of my guys that I like to listen to, and I hardly ever get to hear him. And he has a program on Friday nights called Balanced Living. His name is Jim Reeves, Dr. Jim Reeves. He's in Southern California. He's a great guy, very funny. And it was interesting that he was preaching about this passage this week. I believe this is something that God's saying to the church worldwide, and we need to catch it right here at New Beginning. Amen? He says this, if you want to be a true disciple of the Lord and a driving force of the kingdom, then it's very important that we in our life become intimate in our life, in our love, and in our lifestyle that Jesus lived, and become an imitation of that, or become a part of that, Jesus our Messiah. Now, this first point, if you're filling in the blanks, is the attitude of a servant. Each one of us must take on the attitude of a servant. Look at Philippians 2, 5, and 6. It says, your attitude should be the same as same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. Now, Paul starts out in this Philippians 2 passage. He says, look, I want you to have the same attitude, the same mindset that Christ had. Who, even though he knew he was God, did not cling to that. In other words, he was one who realized who he was. Jesus knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. But even though he had that and understood that, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped after, if you want to read it in some of the other translations. And so it's really important that we realize that even though Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, he never pulled rank. He didn't ever stop in the midst of serving his Father and say, oh, by the way, I'm pulling rank right here. Everything has to stop being a problem to me because I'm the Son of God. No, he didn't do that because he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. He knew where he was going, and he knew where he came from. Jesus did not ever deal with an identity crisis because he knew who he was. And we, God's kids, if we really live in the power of the kingdom, can know who we are. We're sons and daughters of the living God of the universe. And when we speak God's word, things have to happen. You don't have to pull a rank. You just know who you are. There's nothing like knowing who you are and feeling confident about it. Jesus put this whole concept in his own words in Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, for even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus himself, the Son of the Most High God, the one who became the perfect sacrifice for all sins, the one who gives us the reason to celebrate at communion, the one who gave it all away, said, I did not come into this world to be served, but I came here to serve. Now, may I suggest to you or submit to you that if the Lord of all the heavens and the earth came to serve, shall we not be called to serve him? May God give us that grace in our life. He called us to serve. And then he said, not only did I come to be to serve, but the way I'm going to serve is I gave my life away as a payment or ransom for those who needed payment for their sin. And anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord can be, will be, shall be saved. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Now, this verse that Jesus gives is really his mission statement. If you really want to know what Jesus came to do, it's found in that passage. He came to not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. Now, the reason why many people in God's kingdom don't ever fulfill the call that's on their life is because they have no mission statement. Let me just tell you simply this. If you aim at nothing, you will get it. And so each one of us should write a personal mission statement. I have one. It goes like this. God placed Ron Isom here on earth to be a living example as Christ's disciple, to teach, equip, and encourage others to walk as the disciples they're called to be. That's my mission statement. Everything I do wraps around that statement. That's mine. Now, this may not be yours, but I want to challenge you to sit down sometime with the Lord and just write a purpose statement or mission statement of why you're here. You see, the reason why many people never fulfill the call upon their life is because they don't know what their call is. They've never determined what it is God has for their life. Well, let me just tell you one thing. God's called every one of us to be his servants. And it's not hard to serve someone that we can trust, because I can tell you, in the places I'm weak, then I'm strong because Jesus comes and makes up the difference every time. Amen. So giving our life away in service. Now, in our country's history, we had a whole system of servanthood. And in those days, back in the older days, those servants were mistreated. Some of them were sexually abused. Some of them were physically abused. There was all kinds of misuse of servants in our country's history. But I want you to know that the master of all his servants, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never misuse you. He will never abuse you. He will never take advantage of you. The great Lord of the universe who we serve will always honor you and lift you up. He's never going to be abused. God did not count, Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped after. He knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. Verse 6 of this passage that I just read in the NIV says, who being in very nature God. See, Jesus was completely God and man at exactly the same time. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. But even though he was God and man, he didn't count being equal with God something that he had to grasp after because he knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. He knew his identity. And so I challenge you, find a purpose statement for your own life. And don't grasp after life. Just trust him to fulfill his purpose in you. His purpose for you is different than the purpose he has for me. That's what makes it all happen, is that everyone in here using their gifts, using their ability to serve God in the way he's determined for you, makes the church happen. That's why we really do need each other, because there's no one here that completely can do it all. I know I can't. So there's no spectators in God's kingdom. There's no room for people sitting on the bench. We're all in the game. We're all on the playing field. And so if you are not fulfilling the call God put on your life, then I challenge you in Jesus' name to find what that call and purpose is and fulfill it. But I assure you that in every one of our mission statements will be the idea or the concept of servanthood, because God has called us to serve one another in love. In fact, one of the main passages of Scripture that formed New Beginning Fellowship Church is Galatians 5:13, where it says we should serve one another in love. That's what makes this church operate. It's what makes the kingdom operate. And so if we're waiting for somebody else to do it, may I suggest to you, you change your focus and realize that God's called you to serve. Amen. Now, Matthew 20, verse 16 says, "And so it is that many who are first now will be last then, and those who are last now will be first then." That's kind of a big way of saying those who have gotten their glory here on this planet, they're going to be last. And I'm going to tell you right now, just to be honest as I know how with you, the accolades of men on this planet don't mean a thing to me. The only thing that matters to me is that when I stand before my Lord, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." People tell me all the time, "Oh, man, I love that sermon. Last week I got more people going by, 'Man, that's a great sermon. Oh, that was wonderful. Yes, oh, that just touched my heart.'" Hallelujah. I love that. Thank you. The truth is all that matters is one day if I hear the master of all say, "Ron, you did what I called you to do. You're a good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." That's what I want to hear. Don't care if I have ever big crowds here on this planet. It's not important to me. What is important is the Father said, "Everything I sent for you to do, you did it. You did it to the best of your ability. You did it with your calling to be a servant." May we learn that and understand that concept. Now, right after the conclusion of a story, Jesus tells this, has some powerful things to say in Matthew 20. And the story he just told his disciples and those who were followers, he said that there was a group of people came to a master, and they said, "We're going to work all day for you for X number of dollars." And so he said, "Okay," signed the contract. They started work. A little later in the day, some more people came on the workforce. And when it got to the end of the day and he was passing out the money for the day, the master was, he gave the people who only worked part-time the same price. And the people who had worked all day said, "Hey, that's not fair." This is kind of paraphrased. You can read it in Matthew 20. But he said, they said, "It's not fair. It's not fair that you would give them the same pay, even though we worked all day and they only worked part-time. In fact, they didn't even come till the evening. That's not fair." And the master says to him, he says, "Did you contract with me to work a whole day for this much money?" "Yes." "Then what's your business? How I pay someone else. If you did what you said you would do, you'll get the pay that you said you would do it for. And those who come later will get the pay that they contracted for." Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether you've been serving the Lord for a long, long time or whether you are serving the Lord just a short period of time and have just committed your life to the Lord recently or started to serve him, or if you start to serve him today. At the end of all things, we'll all receive the same reward. And you say, "Well, then I'm just not going to do anything." Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you must be willing to what? Be the servant of all. Even those people that don't deserve it. Those people that don't want three cubes and not two. They don't want their sandwich to be like a hockey puck. Excuse me. God has ordained us to serve no matter what happens in our life. See, the joy that comes just from serving. That's it. It's not the joy that people have treated you right or fair or the same. The key is, did you serve with all your heart? May the Lord teach us to be servants like that. I tell you, this church would radically change if everyone in this room today took on the role of a servant and said, "You know what? I don't care if anybody ever sees me. I don't care if I'm cleaning the back corner of something when nobody ever even notices. I'm doing it for the Lord. You may take food to a needy family and nobody ever knows you were the one that left it there. But God knows. When we serve Him and serve one another in love. So, after this story Jesus told in Matthew 20:28, He says this. This is what happens. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, will you let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left? Sounds like my mom. My mom always wanted my name on everything. My mom would say, how come your name's not on the sign? How come your name's not on this still? You know, I'd write a book, a little booklet or something, wouldn't have my name on it. She'd say, how come your name's not on this? So it doesn't matter whose name's on it. It's the word. It doesn't matter to me. Oh, but you need to put your name on it. It's very important. So I understand the heart of a mom. And this mom comes to Jesus and says, look, when you get into your kingdom, I have this request that my two sons, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, one would sit on your right, one would sit on your left. What a request. But Jesus told them, you don't know what you're asking. See, you're missing the point. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Well, they didn't know even what they were talking about, did they? And you will indeed drink from it, he told them, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. How many know the Father has a plan? You want to be the greatest in the kingdom? You must be willing to be the servant of all. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. It might mean that they were just like, man, I wish I had thought of that. I don't know, but they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that in this world, kings are tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. You're looking for a role of leadership? The role of a leader is always connected to the role of a servant. You can't separate those two words, leader and servant. They go together. And whoever wants to be first must become your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's good news, isn't it? Jesus did it for us. Now, while these sons of Zebedee and their mom were fighting for the chief seats in the kingdom, just a few chapters later, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, at that first communion, at that first Lord's Supper Pastor Kenton was talking about today, took off his robes, put on the robe of a servant, and rather than fighting for the chief seat, he fought for the towel, and he washed his disciples' feet. And may I suggest to you today, and submit to your heart, that if you want to be great in God's kingdom, fight for the towel. Not for the chief seat. Don't look for at the people in this world to adore you and say great things about you. Look for the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear one day. So he said we should have this attitude of Jesus Christ. Now, the last two points are real quick. I just want to say a couple things about each one of them. The humility of a servant. And number two, the humility of a servant. Look what it says in Philippians 2:7-8. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus, the great Lord of the earth and of heaven, made himself a servant. He humbled himself. Humility is something that we don't know a lot about in our modern world because everything in our world says, speak up for yourself. Tell everybody how good you are. And so when somebody is humble, we don't even quite understand that in our world today. We don't kind of catch that. Hey, how many of you guys in here watch American Idol? How many of you like that show? You know that one girl, and I can't remember her name, but she doesn't like have a neck, you know. I mean, she's really a good singer, though. You remember who I'm talking about? Doolittle. What's her first name? Melinda? Melinda Ludo. The girl could sing. And she's one of the most humble people. In fact, even Simon, of all people, recognizes the fact that she's humble. He says, you have the greatest, probably, talent in this whole competition, but you come out here not even acting like you're sure of yourself. Now, his goal is try to get her to be more sure of herself and to be more haughty, but she just stays humble. How many of you know that no matter what this world says, how good you are at something, Jesus says, humble yourself. No matter what the world calls for, humble yourself. He says, this Jesus, who is our example, humbled his position to a slave. He became a slave. And he became a human of all things. Talking about taking a lower role to be God himself and become a human all of a sudden, that's pretty low. That'd be like us being a human being and being called to be a donkey. Well, this is kind of lower. Because you know what donkeys do. I won't go into that. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further. Not only humbled himself to be a human, but now as a human, he humbles himself even further to become obedient to death. Death on a cross. The most humiliating, the most devastating death of all time. There's not a capital punishment that we've had in this world that even compares close to what somebody went through on the road to the cross. Not even anything close. Jesus humbled himself that much. Here's what happens. And the third thing, the effects of a servant. Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, because of this, God raised him up. One translation says, God exalted him. Because of his humility, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every name. Isn't that good? So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus humbled himself, the effects of that was that he was then highly exalted. But who was he exalted by? Not by man. Not by this world system. But by the God of heaven, his Father, highly exalted him. And he gave him the name that is above every name. And that when that name is mentioned in faith by God's kids today, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to the Lord, the God of glory. And let me just tell you, anybody on this planet that doesn't bow will one day bow. And they will cry for the mountains to fall upon them, for they cannot stand his glory. So we bow now and we confess now, or we will confess and bow then. May I challenge you to humble yourself and let God lift you up. How many times have we said, man, life isn't fair. Such and such and so treated me wrong. I just hope they get what they deserve. That's not humility. That's revenge. Humility says, it doesn't matter how anybody on this planet treats me, because the truth is, my life is before the living God. It's not before this world. This is only a passing, fleeting moment in all of history. All of eternity, from beginning to the time we go be with the Lord, all of eternity is long. But this life is like a whisper, a vapor that comes and goes. And boy, do we put a lot of stock in what happens on this planet. We think this is it. Sometimes. Well, I was just treated bad. That customer was rude. That person was this. That person was that. Do you think the soldiers that beat Jesus were nice? Do you think that the people that nailed him to the cross were saying, oh, I'm so sorry? They are doing their job. They were doing what purpose was purposed for them. But Jesus humbled himself. And he became a human. And he further humbled himself. And he laid down his life as a ransom for many. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Be the what? Servant of all. You want to be lifted up? Humble yourself. You want to be first? Make yourself last. Don't look for others to do it. You look for an opportunity to serve. And when we have the discipline of servanthood in our heart, we'll experience the greatness God has for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you take this message today, share it with our hearts deeply, and make us, Lord, your servants, ones that are willing to do whatever it takes to become the people you've called us to be. Lord, I'll be honest with you that many of your kids today that we see publicly have not learned this truth of humility. Many people have tried to lift themselves up and look better and be more popular. But you said if we want to be great in your kingdom, we must be willing to be the servant of all. It's our call, it's our choice to become that kind of servant. One who looks past our own needs and the things that we need to do and begin to give our time to the work of your kingdom, whether it be in prayer, Bible reading, whether it be in church attendance, whether it be working around the church, serving other people, however it is, however you've called us, whatever you've called us to do. Lord, if we do that with all of our heart and humble ourselves before you, not trying to get the accolades of men in this planet, but we just want to hear one day you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. If that's our goal, if that's our call, then we will then one day experience what you've provided for us. For you said you've gone away to prepare a mansion. And if it were not so, you would have told us. And so, Lord, we look for an opportunity to get to a place called heaven one day. But in between now and then, we've been commanded and called to experience and practice the discipline of servanthood. So make us available to you and your purpose for our life and serve you in love. Now, a good example today, church, of people who are willing to serve.